How's everyone doing? Nice. You know, it's funny. It seems like we have more energy today, and it's kind of a rainy. It's been rainy all week long. We have more energy than on sunny days we've had. I don't get it. Well, it feels. Some of us do. Yeah. Hey, I'm so glad you're all here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And a couple things as we get started here. Ben had mentioned Harlem Grown, and I want to put another plug in for it because I think what they're doing is amazing, and I really want for you to see that, to see what's happening down there, what they're doing, and how they're partnering with so many families that live down in Harlem. So June 30th is going to be that date, and there's actually a sign-up. It's in the newsletter, and it's Harlem Grown sign-up. It's one of their official documents that they need to have signed before we come out. So if you don't get the newsletter, you can sign up, put your email in that black box, but on Monday when it comes out, just go and sign up for this thing because we are going to have a blast. So June 30th, 11 to 3, and I really hope to see you there. And then also, I found out we have a sign-up on the back table as well for our kids, volunteers, and teachers. So if you are interested in volunteering, if you're interested in teaching, we are going to have the training on the 10th, but if there's a certain day, a certain Sunday that you can volunteer, that would be amazing as well because that is such an important part of what we do here at Awaken. So I would love for you to sign up to join us as we teach the up-and-coming generation because that is so important. To teach those who are younger what it means to follow Jesus with their lives. And we truly believe in this here at Awaken. Now, this morning, we are in week 4 of our Colossians series. And we're about halfway done with it, so we still got a lot of book to go. And I thought what we would do, well, first off, today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about wisdom. I want to talk about what wisdom is and then how to access wisdom. And I thought what we would do is we begin here this morning is talk about breathing. So let's do this. Everyone, take a deep breath in. Now let that breath go. Now I have two diagrams, I have two charts to show you the air that you breathe in and the air that you breathed out. So the first diagram, it shows us the air that we inhale. 21% oxygen, that air that you were just breathing in, it was comprised of 21% was oxygen. And then 78.04%, how do you think they got that 0.04? Seems very specific. Like, don't you think 78% would have been fine? But no, 0.04. So 78.04% of the air that you breathed in was nitrogen. Now, diagram number 2, the air that we exhaled, notice, 13.6% to about 16% of the air we exhaled was oxygen. And how much nitrogen was exhaled? Is that number familiar? The amount of nitrogen that you breathed in was the exact amount of nitrogen that you just breathed out. Why? Because our bodies don't need nitrogen. But yet we see that the number of oxygen has decreased. The percentage of oxygen that we breathe out has decreased because some of that oxygen gets infused with our blood and it allows us to survive and be an actual living human being. The thing about nitrogen, it doesn't serve us. We don't need it. This is a beautiful picture of what wisdom looks like. Cultivating a filter, the ability to know from that which we consume, what is it that serves us, what do we need, and what of that which we consume doesn't serve us? What of that which we consume doesn't help us be thriving, living human beings? The breath we take, our bodies just simply, they instinctually know what to use and what to discard. This is what wisdom looks like. And I don't know about you, but I think we need a way lot more wisdom than what we see in our world today. I don't know about you, but I would argue that we need more and more wise people, men and women, who will lead us forward to being the best that we can be, to being the people that God has created us to be. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And yes, I understand, we are going back a few verses, and we are slowly moving through this book here. So Colossians 1, verse 9, for this reason, remember, this is Paul writing to a very early church, a group of people who have been Christ followers, who have been Christians for less than 5 years. And so he's writing this letter to encourage them. And he says, for this reason, since the day that we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Now, notice, at the heart of this prayer, this is how Paul essentially begins his letter. This is his opening salvo, where he's saying, I want you to know I've been praying for you. My posse, my crew, the tribe that I roll with, we've all been praying for you. We are here supporting you. And what is at the heart of this prayer? He's asking God that the Colossians would grow in wisdom. Now, remember what we said from week one and what we've been saying every single week since then is that Paul is writing this letter for other reasons, but he's writing it to combat heresy. Because there are certain philosophies, there's arguments, there's people, there's ideas, things that are trying to take these Christ followers off their path of pursuing Christ. They're trying to take the Colossians away from that which is real and move them into the false or the hollow, the fake, something that looks so alluring but has absolutely no substance behind it. And so it's almost as if when Paul starts his letter here and he's offering this prayer, he's saying, we're praying, we're asking God that you may have more and more wisdom, because if you grow in wisdom, you then will be able to determine what is real and true and what is hollow and false. Anyone need more of that wisdom in their life today? The ability, the filter to know what to pursue because it fills you with satisfaction and life and purpose, and what to discard because it leaves you feeling empty and hollow and doesn't actually bring fulfillment and satisfaction. Anyone else need some of that wisdom this morning? 7 of us do. Now, here's 2 things that Paul believes about wisdom. First, he believes that you can grow in wisdom. You don't max out at wisdom at age 18, but rather you can continue to grow and have more and more wisdom. This is why he's asking, continually grow in wisdom. And the second thing that Paul believes about wisdom is he believes that there is a spirit that is always guiding. There is a spirit that is always leading your life. There is this divine spirit that is always with you, whispering, silently pulling you, pushing you, prodding you, kicking you oftentimes to move into that which is real. There is a spirit. See, I would believe that one of the goals of the Christian faith is that you would grow into more and more wisdom. I believe one of the goals of the Christian faith is that within you, you would cultivate that filter, that ability to listen and discern and hear where it is that the Spirit of God is leading you, so that you may have life and have it abundantly and fully. So here's the two things that I believe, that Paul believes about wisdom. Now, a couple things. So oftentimes I hear people, whenever we talk about listening to God or listening to the Spirit, I'll often hear a lot of people who will say, I have a really difficult time hearing from God. Sometimes it feels, I don't know, I've experienced this many times in my life where it just feels like God has gone radio silent. You ever notice this? Where there'll be some days, there'll be some moments, some seasons of life when you're just like, you're in the flow and you just feel it. And then there's other days, there's other seasons, other times where it just feels like God is completely absent. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to help us kind of navigate that tension a little bit. And I want to share with you a couple of things that I've learned about how to cultivate wisdom, how to cultivate the ability to hear from the Spirit. And I want to start here first by giving you three things that wisdom is. So the first thing that wisdom is, three truths about wisdom, because that sounds so much better. So three truths about wisdom. First, wisdom is different than intelligence or IQ. You may have an extremely high IQ. It might be off the charts high, but that doesn't mean necessarily that you have a whole bunch of wisdom. Have you ever experienced this, where there is someone who has a lot of book smarts, someone who knows what they're talking about, but yet might be lacking in the wisdom category a little bit? Yeah, so wisdom and IQ, two completely different things. But rather, what I believe about wisdom, if you go to point number two, the second truth, is I believe that wisdom is applied knowledge. Or the way that I like to refer to it, wisdom is embodied truth. Doesn't that sound so good? Embodied truth. I love that. Wisdom is being able to take the intellect that you've gained over the years, the experiences that you've had, and be able to practically use them in a way that is wise, in a way that is beneficial, helpful for you, and in a way that follows where it is that God is leading you. It's not just knowledge that's stuck up here in your head, but rather it's knowledge that has been transferred down into your body, and that directs how you live and move in the world. It's embodied truth that helps whenever you're making decisions. It's embodied truth that helps when you're interacting with other people, in conversations with others, the way that you even view yourself. And then the third truth about wisdom is wisdom needs to be worked for, or wisdom doesn't come easily. Throughout the scriptures, there is this long, long tradition of wisdom. It actually starts way, way back in the beginning of Genesis. And Paul, by even dropping this word wisdom into his letter, he's picking up on this tradition. And in the Old Testament, there is this ancient collection of wisdom sayings, a book known as Proverbs. And see, what I believe about Proverbs, and actually the Bible as a whole, is that it doesn't just provide nice, simple, easy formulas and answers. It doesn't just spoon feed you wisdom, but rather it makes you work for wisdom. Because one of the goals of Proverbs and the entire Bible is that you would grow in your maturity, that you would grow in your wisdom. But it's wisdom that doesn't come just from reading a couple simple truths, but rather it's a wisdom that comes as you sit, as you reflect, as you experience life and then think through that which you are experiencing. One of my favorite passages to illustrate this is found in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. And this is what it says in verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Okay. What does this tell us to do? If you're talking to a fool, and I know we have a lot of experience with that, I'm sure, what does this proverb tell you to do? Don't even bother answering that fool, if you're Mr. T. You ever have this where you get sucked into a certain conversation and then a half hour later you're like, ugh, the only thing that did was made my blood pressure go up. Yes, we've all experienced this, and you're like, why did I even bother to answer her? Why did I get pulled into that conversation with him? So according to Proverbs 26:4, just don't answer a fool. Now, what does verse 5 tell us? Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Huh. What do we do with this? Verse 4 tells us, don't answer a fool. Verse 5 tells us, answer a fool. Is this not contradictory? And yet both of these truths are found in Scripture. Not only Scripture, but side by side. One verse after the next. Don't answer, answer. Wait, what? Because here's the thing about answering a fool. Here's the thing about wisdom. Sometimes the thing to do is not to respond. But other times the thing to do is to respond. And wisdom is discerning. Wisdom is knowing what to do in the particular situation that you find yourself in. The Bible, Proverbs, doesn't just hand you answers. This isn't how wisdom works, but rather it gives you the tools. As you sit with it and reflect with it, it does something within you so that as you're walking through your normal, ordinary, everyday life, you're now able to distinguish, I don't answer the fool at the office party, or no, I do answer the fool at the office party because that guy's been talking smack for months and it's time that he just got the smack down. But then when you're at Thanksgiving dinner with your family and your uncle's like all Fox News, you're like, eh. Not entering that one. In talking about wisdom, one of my favorite authors, Old Testament scholars, Peter Enns, he has this to say about wisdom. Wisdom isn't about finding a quick answer key to life, like turning to the index, finding your problem, and turning to the right page so it all works out. But wisdom is about learning how to work through the unpredictable, the uncontrollable messiness of life, so you can figure things out on your own in real time. The goal of wisdom. See, God wants you to grow up and make your own decisions. God wants you to mature. God wants you to develop the ability in real time to discern what it is that the Spirit is speaking to you. And this doesn't come easily. This doesn't happen like that. This takes years and years to develop. Remember, Paul says we can continue to grow in more and more wisdom. The ability to cultivate a life of wisdom, the ability to hear and listen and discern what the Spirit is doing, it takes time. I remember when I first started Awaken, I had recently graduated seminary, and I just thought that the next natural step for me was to go on and get my doctorate degree. So I did a bunch of research, and I found a school down in New York City that had a program that I was really interested in. I found a few people that had connections to the school, so I tracked them down and said, hey, would you write me a glowing recommendation so that they have no choice but to let me into the school? And they did it. Then I set up a tour where I could walk around the campus, I could see the entire campus, get to meet some of the professors, sit in on some of the classes, talk to some of the students, hear what they were doing, hear their thoughts about the school. The day came, I took the train. I went to the campus, went to some classes, met some students, and the last meeting that I had that day was with the professor that was overseeing the program that I was interested in. So I'm looking around for where his office is. I get in the elevator and I go all the way down to the basement where there's no windows. And there's like stone, it's a stone corridor. And I find the room, I walk into it, slowly knock on the door, and I go into his office, and it's dimly lit. And he's sitting at this massive wooden desk all the way in the back far corner of the office. And there's massive stacks and stacks of books surrounding him everywhere, which, if you know anything about me, like, that is my dream. We're sitting there, we're talking about the school, we're talking about the program, and as I'm there, I have this feeling deep, deep within me that this isn't the right move for me at this time. I leave the meeting, walk back to the train, get on the train, heading back home, and as I'm sitting there on the train, this feeling will not leave me. And I think by the time I got home, I told Steph, it was great, but not for me at this time in my life right now. On paper, it looked great. The school had a great reputation. It had a program that I was thrilled to participate in. I could have gone part-time, which would have allowed me to continue working with the church, have time for my family. But yet there was something within me that was saying, good opportunity, not for you at this time. Now, leading up to this particular moment, there had been many other times in my life where I had had that feeling. And what I discovered is that as I began to trust that feeling, and as I saw the fruit of what had happened when I was trusting that feeling, that feeling was actually telling me something very important. Like, this isn't for you at this time. And the more that I trusted that feeling, and the more that I saw what happened as a result of it, the more I just was able to easily then say, oh, having that feeling again, must not be for me at this time. A couple years before that, I had already said yes. I had agreed to be an assistant pastor at a church. And I had said yes. I was up at the church speaking for the first time before I'd even signed anything or contracts or whatnot. And I remember I walked down. There was like a little platform that I was speaking on, and I walked down off the one step. And as my one foot was coming down, that feeling came up within me. And I remember I had to actually call the pastor, and I sat him down for lunch the next day, and I said, hey, I know I already told you that I'm going to accept this position, but I really don't feel like this is the right move for me at this point. And he was like, wow, I'm really glad you said that. Thank you. If I had taken that assistant pastor position, I never would have started Awaken. The more, whenever you have that feeling, the more that I began trusting it and seeing the fruit of what happened, good opportunity, not the best for me at this time, the more I began to see and understand how it was that the Spirit was leading me and how I felt when the Spirit was speaking to me. See, there's two ways that I've been learning to cultivate wisdom in my life. And the first is learn to see your entire life as a teacher. This is what I've been discovering. Learn to see your entire life as a teacher. One of my favorite quotes of all time, it's by a Franciscan priest who I love, Richard Rohr, and he has this to say. He says, God comes disguised as your life. There is something to learn at every moment of your life. But the problem is we are moving so fast. We are cramming so much into our calendars. We are constantly feeding ourselves with information and all this input that we don't take the time to slow down and to reflect on what's happening in our lives. We are moving at light speed that we're not seeing our entire life. We're not learning what it is that God's teaching us in each of the moments we're experiencing, because we're already on to the next and the next and the next. And so the invitation that wisdom offers is to see your entire life as a teacher. What is this moment teaching me? And a practice for me that has been tremendously helpful has been a practice that I'll just call getting curious. And I just begin asking all sorts of questions about what I'm experiencing and what I'm feeling. Maybe for me, it often starts with a prayer. God, show me what this is teaching me. God, show me what this is teaching me. And then I just start asking all questions. Why am I feeling this way? Why am I hesitant? Is it because there's some fear there and I need to push through that fear because that's simply all it is? It's an illusion. Or is there actually something deeper here? Is there a reason I'm feeling hesitant? Because there's actually something deeper that your spirit is trying to speak to me. And there's a reason that I'm feeling hesitant for this. Is there anything in my life that I'm resisting that I inevitably can't change, but yet I'm resisting it? Why am I resistant to what's happening in my life at this time? Am I giving any of my energy to resisting something that is just not going to change no matter what I do? What am I experiencing? And for me, I'll grab a notebook and I'll just start writing my answers to whatever questions I start asking. And I'll just start writing and writing and writing. God, show me what this is teaching me. Why do I feel this way? Is there something about me that I need to change? Am I reacting in a certain way and I need to get some new skills? I need to learn some new tools so I can respond differently, so that I can grow. Is there something, some area of my life that you're trying to change in me at this point, and I need to learn a new way to navigate through things? So I'll get a notebook. I'll go, you know, go in the park, go in the woods, go for a long walk, go sit by running water and just listen to the sound and just begin journaling. What is this teaching me? Maybe get a friend, get a trusted mentor, someone that can help you navigate what it is that your life is teaching you. But for me, this has been so helpful, just getting curious. What is this teaching me? And then the second way that I'm learning to cultivate wisdom is find your tribe of mentors. Find your tribe of mentors. Who are the people that are a little further down the road from where you are? This has been, I'm always looking for people who are a little bit ahead of me that I can glean some wisdom from. Whenever I find someone that I really respect their life, I respect what they're doing, someone who really inspires me, I will do everything I possibly can to make a connection with them. So I'll go up to people and say, hey, do you have 5 minutes? I'll track people down, whatever I have to do, because I want the wisdom that they have. There's something about their life, and they're a little bit further down the road from where I'm at, and I really believe that they can help me continue to move forward. So I've collected a whole tribe of mentors throughout the years, and I have different people for different things. I have one person that whenever I have a speaking question, a preaching question, I'll just drop him an email, and then he'll give me some information. Or whenever I have questions about structures or systems or church leadership, I have someone else for that. Whenever I'm trying to make a personal decision and I have all these questions swirling around, I have a mentor for that who will just sit with me and just ask me all sorts of different questions about what I'm experiencing, because it helps me see things from a different perspective. And it helps me tap into the wisdom that is already within me. I took a coaching class in seminary, and one of the truths they gave about coaching is that when you're officially coaching someone, you do not want to give them answers, but rather you want to draw out from what's already within them. So you want to get really good when you're coaching about asking questions, because it's the belief that the person you're coaching already has the wisdom within them. And this is what I believe about you. You all have a spirit within you. You all have a divine spirit within you that is leading you, that is guiding you, that is giving wisdom. It's simply a question of how aware are we of what that Spirit is speaking? How tapped in to that divine Spirit are we? And we can all grow in that awareness. And in having a tribe of mentors to help me determine and discern what that Spirit is speaking and doing has been so beneficial for my growth in my life. And how do I pick mentors? I look at the fruit of their lives, going back from 2 weeks ago. People who I say, wow, I love how they're living their life. They are really inspiring me. I want to become more like them. So you look for people that inspire you. Now, one more question for us this morning. What is the goal of wisdom? Because I don't think Paul believes that the goal of wisdom is wisdom for the sake of wisdom, where you can just walk around and be like, yeah, I'm a wise dude. I'm a wise man. Actually, I would argue that the people who are the wisest are the ones who silently just go about living their lives and who don't have to boast or brag about anything. Normally, the people who are boasting and bragging and talking the loudest, they're just trying to cover something else up. But those who are the wisest are the ones who are simply doing their work and living their lives. And so the goal of wisdom, see, I believe that Paul is after something really big here when he's praying that the Colossians would grow in wisdom. And if we revisit those verses, for this reason, since this day, we haven't stopped praying for you. And so we ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you, and I bolded some of the goals of wisdom here, may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, so you may have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks. See, as Paul goes through this prayer, he's saying, I pray that you would have wisdom so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. I pray that you would have wisdom so that you may have endurance and patience. And at the end here, it sort of culminates, it crescendos, so that you may give joyful thanks to the Father. It's almost as if the whole goal of wisdom is gratitude. See, when you're living a life filled with gratitude, you're so grateful because you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And as we grow in wisdom, the ability to make decisions and live life in a way that brings us to our truest selves, we become grateful because we are able to be the men and women that God created us to be. And we become so grateful for our lives. So I would say the whole goal of wisdom is so that you can simply be you. So you can experience the true, abundant life that Christ gives. The life that the Spirit is leading you into. Not anyone else, but you. So you're able to follow this divine Spirit that's leading you on your path. So the whole goal of wisdom is for you to grow in maturity and to grow in you-ness, because this is the life that pleases God. Let me pray here for us. God, we come to you this morning. And God, as we've been talking about wisdom, God, I ask that we may be a people that continue to grow in wisdom each day. God, I believe that there is a Spirit that is leading all of us. God, a Spirit that is guiding our lives. God, a Spirit that is leading us down the path. God, the path that you have for us. God, this path that will bring us true satisfaction and purpose and fulfillment and meaning. So God, I ask that we would grow in our awareness to hear that Spirit. God, that as we gather others around us, God, as we listen to what you are teaching us through our lives, God, I pray that we would truly cultivate a filter to be able to discern that which is true and real from that which is hollow and false. And as we step into the true, God, as we continue to follow that path, may you bring us life and joy. May we find the resurrected Christ as we walk down that path. God, may we live so in tune with your Spirit that our hearts are filled with gratitude, being so grateful for the life that you've given us. God, the life that you have created us to have. So we pray, we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.